This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, August 16th, the memorial of St. Stephen of Hungary, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Hear and observe to do the things that the Lord had commanded thee, that it may be well with thee, as the Lord, the God of thy fathers, has promised thee a land flowing with milk and honey. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. That whole land flowing with milk and honey thing, very familiar Old Testament saying. Even people that don't delve into the Bible much or ever look in the Old Testament know the land of milk and honey. You ever think about what that's about? And of course, it's a place where good things are. Yes. Why are there good things there? Because of God. We receive good things when we do what God says, like observe to do the things the Lord hath commanded thee, that it should be well with thee, as the Lord God your fathers has promised thee a land flowing with milk and honey. You got to put yourself in the historical context of when this was said. The Hebrew people are getting ready to step off into the land of Canaan, the promised land where this milk and honey flow. They are entering these fertile lands from the infertility of the desert. God has had to provide for them the manna and water from rocks and making stagnant ponds drinkable. Our Lord has, through his miracles, done all these things to the people while they wandered through an infertile, inhospitable place, and now they are getting ready to step off into the promised land. God is not going to miracle them the possession of the promised land. They are going to have to fight for it. They are going to have to stand against enemies that are seemingly much more powerful than they are, but God is going to be with them. He is going to give them the land. He is going to bless them with the strength to overcome their enemies, and they will inherit this land of milk and honey. These good things, milk and honey by illustration, anything that is good, any blessing, is a fruit of the work of God in your life. Some he gives less, some he gives more. That whole gospel thing with the 10 talents, he gives somebody 10 talents. In our day and age, that's not fair, Jesus. How come he got 10 and I got 5 and he only got 1? That's somewhat disturbing, okay? It's Jesus' stuff to give whom he will. And we should accept it, and we should use it appropriately. It's a sign of blessing when we are blessed. And that even means materially. That does not mean that a person that does not or is not blessed or seemingly will not be blessed any more than he is not blessed by God, because sometimes the fruits are different, but there will always be fruit there. You see a poorer person who is always upbeat, who is always happy, who is very faithful. You will see someone who has been blessed by God more than a person who has billions and billions of dollars and kind of moves around all the time, worrying about the taxes he has to pay and all this other good stuff. Signs of blessing, they are obvious. By your fruits, you will know them. You know, this is not just an Old Testament thing, this land flowing of milk and honey. You know, our Lord Jesus, he talks about that vine and the branches thing. You know, us being in union with him. And he says, he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bears much fruit. God wants to see some return on his investment of graces in us. It is inarguable. You know, this is what, again, one of those things. And there are many that pulls a rug out from under that hole. I don't have to prove anything to God. Ask that dude with the one talent. Ask him about proving something to God. I don't have to prove anything to the master. Oh, I beg to differ. We do have to prove to the master. You look at that slave, that servant who you know, he lost nothing. He lost nothing. He buried his master's talent in the ground. He buried it in the ground and he gave it back to him just like he got it. Slave lost nothing, but he gained nothing. This is a lesson in, you know, when we are blessed with things, we're supposed to use them for God's glory. No matter how much or how little, it's in a question of how much. This is why we have the 10, 5, 1. We don't know where we're going to land on that scale. But whatever we have to use it appropriately. This is the lesson of the gospel. This is the vine and the branches. The blessings conferred grow with use, and they wither with disuse. The blessings you have will go away, obviously. I got what? Take it from him. Take it from him because of me. Because this is, you know, these are one of the, this is one of those passages that it really kind of flies in the face of the presentation that we get now about God. Like he's the, you know, I was making fun of before and yeah, made fun of it, mocked it. This whole God's that's egalitarian. I'm going to treat everybody equally and wrong. He doesn't treat everybody equally. He does not do it. I mean, there is no indication whatsoever anywhere in the scriptures that he does. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. It's like, deal with what we have and what we're going to receive. Because if you don't use the blessings properly that you receive, no matter how much or how little it may be, the punishment for this type of infidelity, unfaithfulness, sins of omission. Did this guy steal anything from his master? No, he didn't do one thing wrong. It's a sin of omission. He received something, he should have invested it, so the master would have some kind of return, and the punishment, it's interesting, scary, the punishment for this sin of omission is as severe as a punishment for a positive sin. If he had stolen his master's talent, where's my talent? I don't know. Or, hey, where's the dude that I gave the one talent to? He took it and ran. Go catch him. And then he'll be thrown out to the out. Yeah, if he had done a positive sin, thievery, he would have been cast into outer darkness. What happens to him for not doing anything? Cast out into utter darkness. Scary. Very scary. This is from the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must bear fruit practically in this world. And that's living our entire lives, no matter what our position may be, to the glory of God. Today, the memorial of St. Stephen. St. Stephen of Hungary, he's living in a time, this is right in late 10th century, early 11th century. St. Stephen takes over the kingdom of what is now Hungary, and back in those days, constant warfare, constant strife, this, that, the other thing. You think, okay, what do I need to do here? I need to consolidate by force my kingdom and everything like that. That was part of it, but first and foremost, St. Stephen's top priority was transforming Hungary into a Christian state, into a Christian kingdom. That was his first priority. He, as soon as he took the reins, he initiated legislation, which most kings do. I'm king now, we're going to do this. We're going to do that, because back in those days, it didn't matter who you voted for or anything like that. I'm king. We're going to do this, or we're not going to do this. St. Stephen's legislation talked about the observance of Catholic feast days. These were laws, the observance of Catholic feast days, private property rights, which are really kind of unusual back then because, hey, I'm the king, everything belongs to me. He was king, the lot belonged to him, but he said, no, people have private property rights. That's why, because the scriptures teach us that we have private property rights. The book of Acts, hey, wasn't the land yours to do with you what you wanted? Why the big hassle? He legislated that widows and orphans and the poor be tended to. Social justice. But in a really good sense. Because back in those days, you were poor, you could die. And St. Stephen, no, we can't let that happen. Doesn't matter that they're serfs. Doesn't matter that they're poor people. We need to take care of them. And widows and orphans, of course. Because why? Because it's a Catholic mandate that we take care of people. This guy, I mean, he got really specific. I mean, talk about, you know, observing feast days. It's kind of weird to think we actually still have some vestiges of that. No, we don't. Yeah, we do. Everybody's off on Christmas, right? Everybody's off on Easter. Those are just little vestiges of legislation where we used to observe, have to observe by law. I mean, when I was a kid, blue laws that they used to call them, you couldn't buy a bottle of liquor to save your life on a Sunday. You couldn't buy beer until I think it was like 1 or 2 in the afternoon. Because why? Because by 1 or 2 in the afternoon, masses were over. All church services are over. So you could only buy, you know, that was the deal. But most places, I would say a good half of the store weren't open. I was like, by law, you can sell beer after 1 o'clock, but guess what? You can't go anywhere because they're all closed. Why? Because you don't work on Sunday. It wasn't just Chick-fil-A. It was everybody. Nobody worked on Sunday. Why? It's the vestiges of this kind of stuff. But I mean, I love to read history like this. St. Stephen, there was actually, we have extant copies of the laws of King Stephen I. One of his laws. It had to do with citizens who would not go to confession when they thought they might be dying or when there was a good possibility they would. This is a law. If someone has such a hardened heart, God forbid to any Christian, that he does not want to confess his faults according to the counsel of a priest, he shall lie without any divine service and alms like an infidel. Don't go to confession before you die. You have no church service. It's against the law. Hey, they're having a church service for so-and-so and he didn't go to confession. Well, you're under arrest. That's King Stephen. He wasn't a monk. He was married, had a bunch of kids. He fought a lot of battles because, you know, back in the day, people were trying to take your stuff and take your kingdom. He defended his kingdom. So he didn't hesitate to use force of arms. Because why? Because you're allowed to do that in scripture. You can defend yourself. It's the natural law, the right of self-defense. There is just war, contrary to what we hear a lot anymore. But nonetheless, your church teaches that there is just war. You do have the natural right to self-defense. So, you know, this guy lives a real life. He's not sitting in his kingdom with a collar around or wearing a hair shirt, doing all the other good Catholic stuff. He's both. He's living his Catholicism in a practical, meaningful way. And you know what? The Lord blessed him for it. Because although there were conflicts here and now and then again, the peace that reigned in the kingdom of Hungary during his reign was unheard of in those day and age. You didn't have just like groups and bands of people running back and forth, killing one another and things like that. The highwaymen and the brigands that kill people. As a matter of fact, the pilgrimages to Jerusalem increased tremendously while he was king. Because instead of taking the dangerous sea voyages, people wouldn't go because it was so scary and so dangerous to travel over land to the Holy Land. They were like, hey, we can go through Hungary because King Stephen went out of his way to have troops walking up and down the street and protecting pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem. He actually did a little thing too. He used to try to, like, you know, if they were like really wealthy people and things like that, he'd actually get coax them to stay in Hungary. And they would. They'd stay there because it was so peaceful and so nice. Why? Because it was a Christian nation. God blesses when you implement the faith in society. It is truly unfortunate that we live in a time where you hear everybody, that's just the times in which we live. Yeah, duh. It's very obvious. It's very obvious. Look at society now. Look at society. I mean, it's right. You know, everything that you see and hear, no matter what person's political views are or anything like that, no, it's inescapable to everybody. This place isn't like it was 5 years ago. We're not talking generations. We're not talking 100 years ago. People are saying, this place is apples and oranges different compared to what it was 5 years ago. Why? Because the faith isn't practiced. I am not an advocate of kicking people's doors in because of what they do behind their closed doors. But you don't do it in public. You don't have places where you can kill babies, okay, because you want to. You don't let two dudes get married, all right? Ain't a thing. You don't do it, and God will take his hand of blessing off. Look. That's stupid. We're not supposed to like them. We're not supposed to be like them. Civil government, we're not talking ancient history. We're not talking the 10th century here. You know, in the 1950s, a cardinal wrote a book on the civil government's responsibilities to the church. And he didn't mean Christianity. He meant the Catholic Church. That's what governments are there for, to make sure the Catholics can worship freely where they want to. He didn't say you arrest other people or burn their, they are not allowed to do it, but Catholics need to be watched after. Okay, this is in the 1950s. The church has always been, you know, the separation of church and state is the church takes care of liturgy and spiritual matters, and the state bears the sword to protect them so they can do it. That's a separation. You take care of the sword stuff and we'll take care of the sacramental stuff. That was a separation. It didn't mean that you don't implement Catholic Christian principles in your society. Should it be against the law to be open on Sundays? Yes, it should. Well, everybody's not a Christian. Well, let them buy stuff on Saturday if they're not a Christian, and they can sit home and eat whatever they buy then. Yeah, everything should be closed on Sunday in a Christian nation. God will bless stuff like that. That's all there is to it. You stop doing things like that, as you've seen the erosion of this stuff, we see it. By their fruits you will know them. It's about fruit. Where there's fruit, where there's blessing, the Lord's hand is there. Where there's not, somebody's not doing what they're supposed to. In the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost.